Rosie TV.
So I was running today and I saw a guy in a black t-shirt, white letters. It said, "Be nice." This is a thing. You've seen it. It just really sickens me. Like, that's the most important thing in the world today, that we just not step on people's toes, that we just flatter people or tiptoe around people and make sure we don't hurt anybody's feelings. Man, how about a t-shirt that says, "Be real," or "Be honest," "Be truthful"? That's what we really need today. But it's this politically correct, woke nonsense. Be nice on a man. Well, I wouldn't think it would be on a real man. This was definitely a beta male, a woke beta male. Now, I don't know if he had a ponytail. He could have had a ponytail. That would have been perfect. I can almost see women wearing a shirt that says, "Be nice." A pink shirt with white letters. It's more appropriate for a woman to be nice. Except to her husband, of course. That would be the exception. But when I see my first instinct, I probably shouldn't say this, and this probably is not a great reflection of a spiritual person, but my gut reaction is to want to wear a shirt that says, like, "Fuck off," to the "Be nice" person. I mean, I prefer my t-shirt say, "Be truthful, be honest, be real." And I would only wear the "Fuck off" t-shirt. I would only wear it if I could stand next to the "Be nice" person. I wouldn't want to lead with that card. It wouldn't be my offensive move. It would be my defensive move, my comparative move. That's what I would do. That's just my first instinct. But they say your first instincts are often correct. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to MCTV. Off with a bang today. We have a brother. Our dear brother, Peter May, is in a health crisis. He lives in Suriname, in the capital of Suriname, and he has heart issues. I guess for several months he had repeated pain in his chest. He finally was forced to go to the hospital where no one wants to be. And Peter sent me a voice text after I sent him one saying that I heard through the grapevine that he was having a heart issue. It was a very serious business. And he has since in the hospital had heart attacks. He was going to go in for an angio something. And the morning they were ready to take him in, I guess this was 2 days ago, he had another heart attack. And so he has 3 blocked arteries. And so it's starting to look like, the latest word I have, it's starting to look like he will need open heart surgery or some very strong medicine. I got a beautiful voice text from him, and he said, "Martin, I don't want to be here. I'm here against my will, but this is where God has me." And he said the most magnificent thing. This man's faith is phenomenal. And I know it's been given to him by God. He said, "The Lord is with me." And of course, Peter May recognizes the sovereignty of God, and that is the peace that we have when something like this happens. And it was a beautiful message full of, like I said, faith and trust in God. And when I say trust in God, I'm not saying that Peter May trusts that this will turn out well. Peter didn't say that at all. He just trusts God, period. Ends the sentence right there. And of course, wants the Lord's will to be done. And of course, we pray. Paul says, "Make your requests known unto God." And I would pray to God now that, please, Lord, help our brother Peter through this. And do not have this affliction lead to repose. We don't need another member of the body of Christ going to repose. And so I think the prognosis is probably good. Sounds like caught it early. I don't know any more details. If I did, I would tell you. But I want to encourage everyone to send Peter a message. He's on WhatsApp, and I'm going to take the liberty of giving you his WhatsApp number. If you don't have WhatsApp, download it. It's a great way to text and leave voice texts, send photos or whatever internationally. It's Peter May. Here's his name. Here's his spelling. His number is 597-889-8891. 597-889-8891. Please send him a message of encouragement and comfort. Of course, Peter and I have had doctrinal differences, but at a time like this, doctrinal differences disappear. A brother is in need, and I love this man, and I told him with tears how much I loved him, and he responded in kind. He's such a sweet, sweet guy, and I hate it when any member of the body of Christ is suffering. So let's reach out to our brother, Peter May, please. So yesterday I was talking about the locusts of Revelation 9, and these locusts are real. I heard when I was in Christianity back in like 1979, 1980, I was a Christian for 3 or 4 years before I became a believer. I remember reading all the whimsical interpretations of these locusts, like they were helicopters or something. Really? Helicopters coming up from underneath the ground? Are you sure? No, they're exactly what they say. And I'm going to read the account. And what has struck me about this is that these locusts are intelligent and they are dispatched with divine precision. I said that yesterday, but I didn't have the scriptural support for it. It's not that the support's not there, because it is. And I'm going to read it today and give you my reasons for saying that this is not going to be a wholesale attack. These will be precision strikes. And it is in the text. And I've read it more carefully now than I've ever read it before, even during the Revelations series. With this in mind, that these beasts are intelligent, they're sent by God, and they will be effective in what they do, and the ultimate goal is to turn people away from themselves and toward God. And for many, many, many millions, hundreds of millions of people, this is what it takes. And I know God made them hard, I know, but this is one of the remedies for hard people. Just like God sent the king of Assyria against his people Israel. Paul says God hardened Israel's heart. Okay, but that's the absolute viewpoint. Here's what God's going to do to a hard-hearted people. He's going to send the king of Assyria against them to discipline them, to remind them again that he is their God. This will remind the people of the earth that there is a God. And he means business. He's not to be trifled with. And he condoned the times of ignorance, as Paul told, I'm quoting Paul, as Paul told the Athenian and Stoic philosophers, Epicurean philosophers on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. And these people are going to, I think they're pretty sure they're going to repent. I don't think anyone will be wearing his or her Be Nice shirt. Shirts will probably say at that time, Run Like Hell. Anyone selling shirts that say Run Like Hell will do brisk business in the days of the tribulation. Revelation 9:1, in the fifth messenger trumpets, and I perceived a star fallen out of heaven into the earth, and to him was given to him, so the star is a spiritual being, a messenger, a celestial messenger. To him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos. This is on earth. Where is it? I don't know. I think it's somewhere near Newark, New Jersey. Sorry, this is a very bad time to joke. Sorry about that. And he opens the well of the submerged chaos, and fumes ascended out of the well as the smoke of a large furnace. And the sun and the air are darkened by the fumes of the well. The sun. This is happening on the earth. And out of the fumes came out locusts into the earth, and license. This word means authority. It was translated authority many other times in the Concordant version. Don't know why they translated it license here instead of authority, but authority was granted them as the scorpions of earth have authority. Verse 4, and it was declared to them that they should not be injuring the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, except those of humankind who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. It was what? Declared to them? Declared to them. Wait a minute. Normal locusts aren't like that. You know, grasshopper thingies. You don't tell them things and have them understand it. You don't tell the grasshoppers or the locusts of the earth. Well, okay, now, everybody listen up. You don't want to go. I'm not going to let you go to the grass. Don't go over there. I don't want to see anybody hanging around any trees. No mulberry bushes. I want you to go here and do this instead. Got it? Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, no. These are not ordinary locusts. They take instruction. This is what I never appreciated before. It was declared to them by who? I'm thinking by God. That they should not be injuring the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, except those of humankind who have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Not only are they to obey the word of not going near grass or trees, which is would be quite difficult for regular locusts to do, but they're told to go to only those of humanity who don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. So not only do they have to know to stay away from the herbage and the greens, but they have to be able to understand and to read, to see a mark on the foreheads of the people of God. And as far as I can tell in Scripture, the only people in Scripture who are said to have the seal of God on their foreheads are the 144,000. Revelation 7, verse 2, and I perceived another messenger ascending from the Orient, having the seal of the living God, and he cries with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given for them to injure the land and the sea, saying, you shall not be injuring the land, nor yet the sea. These are different messengers. These are not the locusts here. Nor yet the trees, until we should be sealing the slaves of our God on their foreheads. This is the exact wording used of those who the locusts were to avoid. And I hear the number of those sealed, 144,000. These are the 144,000. So 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. Only the 144,000 are said to be sealed on their foreheads. Now we go down in Revelation 7 in verse 9. That was verse 3. And verse 9 says, after these things I perceived, and lo, a vast throng, which no one was able to number, out of every nation, out of all the tribes, and out of the tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lambkin, clothed in white robes, and palm fronds in their hands. And they are crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation be our God's, who is sitting on the throne, and the Lambkins. But it doesn't say specifically that these have the seal of God on their forehead. But they are friends of God. And I can't imagine, although I don't have scriptural evidence for it, that the locusts would be afflicting, would be, to use the scriptural term, tormenting the vast throng. For sure, they have no license to torment the 144,000. Back to Romans 9. It was declared to them. Can't get over that one. That's declared to them. What they can't injure. And it was granted to them. Granted, given to them by God. Not that they should be killing them, that is, those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead. And I can only think that this seal is literal. Because later on in Revelation 14:1, we read this, and I perceived, and lo, the lambkin standing on Mount Zion, and with it 144,000, having its name and its father's name written on their foreheads. Literal, if possible, I think this is literal. Just as there was a literal mark put on Cain that prevented anyone from killing him, thus also these have a literal mark on their foreheads. Yeah, I know I'm going to be laughed out of town by the preterists, by those who say that the book of Revelation is all figurative. Well, let me ask you this, preterists. When you get down to verse 5 of Revelation 9, and it was granted to them, not that they should be killing them, but that they shall be tormenting 5 months. 5 months. What is 5 months figurative for? 6 months? 4.5 months? Tell us what 5 months really means. Give us the secret meaning, oh you wise preterists who allegorize the entire book of Revelation. Tell us. Pull it forth from your vast storehouses of wisdom and tell us what 5 months really means. Does it really mean 100 days? 55 years? A bag of popcorn? A Honda Civic? Or could it be that God knows what he's talking about and wants to tell us that the locusts that come out of the submerged chaos on the earth and are so dense in number that they block the sun, that they will be living for 5 months, which coincidentally is the lifespan of regular locusts. That's interesting. But these are supernatural. Let's go on. They don't kill. But in Revelation 9:15, same chapter, we have four messengers loosed at the great river Euphrates, which you can find on your Google Earth. I wonder what the great river Euphrates is figurative for. Tell us, preterists, what does God mean when he says the great river Euphrates? Does he mean Interstate 95? Does he mean the Yellow Brick Road? The Bering Sea? Maybe he means chili dogs. Because you're all of you are doing nothing but guessing. All of you are trying to make yourselves sound wise because you're interpreting, you're interpreting God's word. This is what he meant to say. Oh, boy, too bad God didn't have you around when he wrote this. Then he could have put chili dogs instead of the great river Euphrates, if that's what it really means. Or he could have put the Bering Sea there. It is these four messengers that loose the 200 million supernatural cavalry that do kill. These are larger beasts. They do kill, but the locusts do not kill because they're small. They're probably the size of regular locusts. And because they're small, not that they couldn't kill, not that killing would necessarily have anything to do with their size, but the fact that they are small tells me that the locusts are meant to torment, and just the presence of them torments. It is not necessary to be bitten or stung, I should say. They don't bite anybody. It's not necessary to be stung, to be tormented by the locusts. Knowing they're out there, I'm sorry, but that would be torment enough. They shall be tormented. That is, those without the seal of God. They're the ones who will be tormented. And it doesn't say specifically in this verse that they'll be tormented by being stung. They're just tormented by the locusts. And their torment, I'm still in verse 5, here it's referring to the locusts. Their torment is as the torment of a scorpion. Yeah, it hurts when you step on a scorpion. Never done it, never want to do it, never want to try it to see. Wonder what those locusts are going to feel like. No, that's okay. That's okay. Don't need that. But it's going to hurt. But it's just the idea of these things that is tormenting for 5 months. It doesn't mean people are being, like I was telling Keith yesterday, who was so worried about these damn locusts, constantly wrecks his sleep, wrecks his peace during the day. He can't love God because of these damn locusts. I'm telling you, they come with surgical precision, and they are instructed, and they obey instructions. Things are declared to them, and they get it. They nod in assent, and they go off to do their thing. They shall be tormented 5 months, and their torment, that is a torment of these locusts, is as a torment of a scorpion whenever it should be striking a man. And in those days, humans will be seeking death just because of things. Not necessarily because they got stung, it would hurt, but they just want to die. Because this is a terrible scourge. In those days, humans will be seeking death, and under no circumstances shall they be finding it. I think something miraculous is going to happen here, because we're in uncharted territory that's going to cause people to not be able to even kill themselves. And they will be yearning to die, and death is fleeing from them. Like, no matter how many times you stab yourself in the heart with your kitchen knife, damn it, damn it, damn it, damn it. I don't know. That's what it says. Well, it's not normal, Martin. Neither are these freaking locusts. All bets are off here, ladies and gentlemen. This has never happened before. And neither has trying to find death and not being able to do it. I don't know how else to read this. If you got another thing, and don't give me any preterists, well, that just means that they will be in a foul mood, and they'll go to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist won't be able to diagnose them. They will seek a diagnosis, but you see, the psychiatrists will have no answer for them, and then they will have to go home. And don't give me this, preterists. And the likenesses of the locusts are like horses made, like, they're like horses, not the size of horses. They're not horses, but they're like horses made ready for battle. And on their head are, as it were, reeds like gold. I want to go through this quickly because I got a hell of a point to make before I end this show. And their faces are, as it were, human faces. So these things are intelligent and they look at you. They look at you. That would be the most terrifying thing to me about these, is the intelligence behind them. That would kind of bother me. But in another way, the intelligence is the salvation. Their intelligence is the reason that their strikes are surgical. Human faces, as it were human faces, and they had hair as the hair of women. In other words, it looks like the hair of women, but it's not the hair of women. Well, I could talk for a long time about the hair of women. A lot of it has to do with glory coming from above, okay? But we'll do that another time. And their teeth are as if they were lions. And they had cuirasses, as it were cuirasses of iron, as it were. But they're not cuirasses of iron, but it's like cuirasses of iron. That is, their thorax is impenetrable, apparently. And they have tails like scorpions and stings, and their license is to injure humanity. You know, you injure yourself when you stub your toe. You injure yourself when you cut yourself with a knife while you're peeling potatoes. So I think much of the torment that Keith is worried about is the torment that these things just exist, that they're out there. And you hear them banging on your windows. You see what I mean? Stephen King's never even thought of anything like this. I don't think. I don't read Stephen King. This is also rather frightening. But in a way, in another way, it's comforting. They have a king over them. The messenger of the submerged chaos. His Hebrew name is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Supervision. But who is Apollyon supervised by? The one who is declaring to them what they can and can't do. It is God, our God and our Father, whose every motive, whose every action is dictated by the motive of love. and who will not strike one little bit more than it takes to turn someone. This is literally what it's going to take to rid Christians of human free will. This is what it will take. No reasoning can touch these people. No scripture can touch these people. You can show them Romans 9 all day. They don't get it. They don't get it. It's going to take locusts with faces like humans, hair like a woman's hair, teeth like a lion's teeth, stingy, stingy, stingy. Oh, maybe Martin Zanta was right. I see. I knew, lady. I knew you were going to be there. I knew it. Baby, I get you. Yes, Martin Zanta was oh, definitely right. I told you. This is what it's going to take. By the will of God. Revelation 8:1. I would hate to go through this quickly, but I have to. And when it opens the seventh seal, this is 8. We were just in 9, so this is before. This is when... Okay, I'm just going to read it. And when it opens the seventh seal, that is the messenger, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. In Revelation 8:1, the shit is about to come down. This is when the seventh seal opens. And it's the seventh seal that finishes the judgments of God on the earth. There's many parts of the seventh seal. But with the opening of the seventh seal, shit be getting real. But this, a hush occurred in heaven, as it were, half an hour. A hush. Why is this mentioned? There's a half hour in heaven? I guess. As it were, half an hour. It would seem to us like a half an hour. This is one of the most beautiful verses of Scripture, because what this says is that God is measured. And before the shit gets real, there's a hush, there's a pause. And if I had the time, and if my audio wouldn't screw up, I would sit here for 30 minutes and just look at you. This is not God striking out in uncontrolled rage. It is not God on a vengeful binge. He can't wait to strangle people. Can't wait to send those locusts down. Can't wait to send the hail and the blood. No. This is measured. This is quiet. This is a time of contemplation. Yes, it's contemplative. Entire heavens are hushed because they know what's about to happen. But this is premeditated, obviously. This is not a crime of passion. This is premeditated judgment to bring the world to God. When his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness. And I'm telling you, this is what it takes. And it's thoughtful. And it's meaningful. And it's not nice, but it's true.